I want to ask Brother Josh Treadway to come and to deliver what God has put in his heart. Give it up for Brother Josh Treadway.
Oh, come on, give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Amen, amen. Wow. What a tremendous presence of the Lord in this place today. The praise team from Abundant Life Center leading us into the presence of the Lord. Such a sweet presence still lingering here from last night. I have preached in different places, but I don't know that I preached somewhere that there was such a deepness of God's Spirit. It was just a lingering presence. You could just reach out and feel Him, the presence of the Lord. I looked and I saw that smoke and I thought, well, maybe it's just the smoke that they were creating. But no, it wasn't just the smoke that was being created. There was an atmosphere of God's presence just hovering above us. Amen. And that same atmosphere is here this morning. I feel the presence of the Lord in this house this morning. Amen. Thank you to Brother Rincon, my great friend, and your pastor, Brother Grogan, for having us come. Great friends of ours in the truth. What a wonderful job CLC did today, Brother Kevin Daniels. Amen. We have some of the most talented musicians and singers in all of the world. That we've got them. But it's not just talent, it's got to have anointing. And we've got the most anointed, amen, young people, men and women, amen. Because the anointing breaks the yoke. We don't want just good music, we love good music, but we want anointed music. Amen, amen. And it was beautiful this morning. And I come back this morning to speak to you. I feel the Lord has spoke to my heart for somebody. I want to encourage you in the Holy Ghost today to just tell you what the Lord has told me. If you have your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, a very familiar portion of Scripture says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." If you didn't know, you're running a race, friend. Amen. We're in a race. Amen. "Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith." Looking unto Jesus, the author, everybody say author, and finisher of our faith. I want to speak to you for just a little bit this morning, if you help me. God's going to get the glory out of your story. Look at your neighbor and say, God's going to get the glory out of your story. Because He's the author, and He is the finisher. Amen. God bless you. Put your Bibles down. Clap your hands unto the Lord one more time. Give Him a shout of praise. God, we ask You to bless us today. God, let Your Spirit and Your anointing fill this place, God. Let a continuance of Your power, God, move in this place. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I was reading this particular verse of Scripture, and the Lord pointed my attention to one very particular point, saying, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And I begin to look at this, and the Lord begin to impress upon me, and He begin to talk to me, and He begin to say to me, you know what, boy? I want to let you know I'm writing your story. I want you to understand that I'm writing the pages of your life, and I am the author of your story, but I'm also the finisher of your story. I want to tell somebody today, no matter what you're facing and no matter what you're going through, you're going to make it, because God is the finisher of your story. He's the one that's writing the conclusion to the matter. We are all part of a story that is being written, and you are the main character in your life, is filling the pages and the chapter. Your story began when you were born, and the author's pen was dipped into the ink, and God began to write in the beginning. Every day the author picks up his pen and he begins to write the daily happenings, the major events, the dates and the times. All are recorded in the pages of your life. Yes, every trial, the triumphs, the battles, the brokenness, the tears, and the victories. Every mountain and every valley. The good days, the bad days, the weary days, the gains and the losses. Each are carefully penned the master's hand. And no matter what happens throughout the pages of our lives, the story is not over until God is finished writing the story. Whatever is happening in your life and whatever you are going through, I know sometimes it seems like we're down and sometimes it seems like everything around us is crumbling, but I'm here to tell you, until God takes the pen and puts the final period in your life, you're going to make it. You are an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb and the power of your testimony. Many times throughout the Bible, you can look at the particular stories that are told there. Daniel in the lion's den. Everybody figured that it was the last chapter of his life. He was going into the lion's den and this was it. He was going to be fed to the lions and his life was going to be over. But God said, Daniel, your story is not over. I'm going to get the glory out of your story. I'm going to prove to all the people that I'm better, I'm greater, and I'm more powerful than any lion. I'm more powerful than any tradition. I'm more powerful than any god or any king. The three Hebrew boys were cast into the fiery furnace. And the Bible tells us that when the king looked into the fiery furnace, he didn't see just three, but he saw four. And the fourth one looked like the Son of God. And God said, I'm going to get the glory out of your story. Moses was at the Red Sea. Pharaoh's army was behind. And the chariots were quickly coming upon them. And mountains on both sides. And Moses didn't know what to do or where to go. And the people were saying, why didn't you leave us in Egypt? And people thought this was the end of the story. We're going back into bondage. We're going to go back into slavery. We're going to go back into being captive. But God said, I'm going to get the glory out of this story. This is not the end. This is just the beginning of what I'm going to do with you and your people. And the Bible says that the seas open up and they went across on dry ground. But once the Egyptians came and they tried to go through, God said, this is the end of your story. God said, this is the final chapter. You're not going to see these Israelites anymore. You're not going to have to deal with your past anymore. I feel the Holy Ghost to tell somebody, God's got another chapter for you. God's got another chapter in your life. And although it seems like everything's against you, God is for you. And God is not done with you yet. And everything you're facing, it's just going to be for God's glory. God's going to get the glory out of your story. Legion was possessed. And that was all he would ever be. His story would always be a man of possession and always be a man who was wandering in the tombs. But God said, no, no, this is not the end of your story. He wrote him a brand new story. Saul the persecutor became Paul the preacher. It was Lazarus that was in the tomb and everybody thought that the situation was dead and nothing else is going to happen from here on out. But God showed up and he said, no, that was just the end of the chapter. But the pages of Lazarus's life begin to open up again and God pulled out the pen and God said, I'm going to get the glory. There is no death. There is nothing that can stop me from finishing the story of your life. It ain't over till God says it's over. Look at your neighbor and said, it ain't over till God says it's over. Until God is done with me, it ain't over. He can make a way where there seems to be no way. He can shut the lion's mouth up tight. He can put you and take you through the fire. He can part the waters and he can raise the dead situations in your life. He's the author and the finisher of our story. You see, he's God, so he can write his own story. He's the author of our lives. Sin wanted death, but God wrote in life. Sin wanted bondage, but he put in freedom. The enemy wanted defeat, but he wrote in victory. Sin said you're going to go through pain and suffering, but God wrote in peace. Sin wanted fear, but God wrote in faith. Sin said you're going to be weak, but God wrote in power. I'm telling somebody, your story is not over. Your story is not over. God is still writing. He holds the pen to your life. He was the one who wrote, if God be for us, then who can be against us? He wrote inside of my life, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. He wrote, you can do all things through me who strengthens you. He wrote, your God shall supply all of your need. He wrote, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you won't have to fear evil, for I am with you. I'm here to tell somebody this morning that the enemy wants to get you to close up the book and close the chapter of your life, and they want you to believe that it's over and you're done. Your calling, your ministry, what God has for you is coming to an end. But I've come to tell somebody today that God's getting ready to open up the book of your life. He's getting ready to add a new chapter to your life. He's getting ready to put a new anointing and a fresh anointing and ministry inside of your book of life. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemies. For when they fall, they shall arise. I believe that was penned in this book. They're not done yet. I'm still writing their story. You see, you don't understand, Satan. They've got more life to live. They've got more victories to celebrate. They've got a lot more shouting to do. They've got more souls to pray through. It ain't over. It's just getting good. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm coming out of this. I may be going through a valley right now. I may be going through a dark spell. I may feel like I'm going through the fire. I may feel like I'm being fed to lions, but I'm coming out of this. You don't understand. It's a new season. It's a new day. God is getting ready to pick up the pen and begin writing prosperity. He's beginning to write power. He's beginning to write victory into my life. God's got this. God is in control. Jeremiah 29 and 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. You know what that lets me know? God's already got my ending. God already has the ending to my story. The only thing I have to do is be faithful and true and follow him and trust him and get to where he wants me to go. Because he's already got the ending. And no matter what valley I have to go through or whatever mountain I have to climb or whatever I have to go through, God's going to be with me. He's already got the end to my story. He's already got the expected end. And when God began to show me this revelation, he began to tell me, son, I don't care what you're going through right now. A lot of time, God just gives us a little glimpse of what we're going to have. A lot of times, God doesn't give you the whole story. He just gives you the cliff notes. Amen. Anybody go to college and didn't want to read all those books? Oh, yeah. Been there, done that. Didn't want to read the book, so we just hit the cliff notes. We just hit the high notes. That's what sometimes happens. God gives us a picture of the ending and shows us what's going to happen. But we don't see all the valleys in between the mountains. And when we get in the valley, it's hard to see. It's hard to see what's ahead of us, and it's hard to see what God's... That's why I preached last night. You got to get to that place where he can fill you up when you're in that valley. He can pour back into you when you're empty so that he can refill you with the vision and with the promise and with the power that he's given you. You go back and get to his feet so he can refill you with the power that you need to climb the mountain to get through so that you can make it to your expected end. And so God has an expected end for us. And sometimes, probably none of you, but sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we get impatient when the pen goes silent. You ever been in those times in your life when everything's going and just God's talking and God's moving, then all of a sudden he doesn't speak for a while? And everything goes quiet. We've got to be careful in those times where the pen goes silent. Because in those times It's very important to hold on to what you know, not what you see. The Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. Why do we walk by faith? Because faith is what God gives us and our trust in Him. I believe in what I know, not what I see. Because sometimes what you see will discourage you. And sometimes what you hear will discourage you. And sometimes what other people around you are doing will discourage you. And sometimes the opinions of others will discourage you. But if you go back to His feet and you let Him pour that vision back into you and pour that promise and pour that back into you, your faith will carry you through when you cannot see. But you know what God has told you and His promises are true. And some of the hardest times of my life have been when the pen goes silent. And it seems like I'm stuck on the ledge and nothing's happening. You see, this happened with Abraham and Sarah. God told Abraham and Sarah they were going to have a child. And then the pen stopped. They promised Abraham and Sarah a child. And then the promises stopped. And for some years, nothing happened. And so Abraham and Sarah get impatient because nothing's happening. Nothing's happening. The pen stopped. And so they get impatient. And Sarah says, have a child with Hagar. They got impatient because the story had stopped. But God's promises never stopped. God said you're going to have a child. It was a promise. The problem is sometimes between the promise and actually receiving it, there's a time of silence. And in between that particular place, we have to be careful because we can get impatient. And we can pick up the pen of our life and we can start writing in our own subscript. We take the pen and say, God, you're taking way too long. Let me finish this story for you. God, you're taking a while. I want this to happen in my life, and I want that to happen in my life. And it's taken way too long. So we take the pen from God, and we say, let me write this in. So Abraham and Sarah devise a plan. They have a child with Hagar. God said, that's not your son. When God tells Abraham to take his son, Isaac, on the mountain. Remember that? He says, Abraham, take Isaac, thy son, thine only son. God said, I didn't write Ishmael in the story. You did. And we must be aware when the pen goes silent that we put stuff in our own story that God doesn't put there for us. And let me tell you, I know how hard it is when God promises you something and you want it tomorrow. When God promises you something's going to happen in your life, and God promises you something's going to happen in your ministry, and God promises you something's going to happen, and you want it tomorrow. But I'm here to tell you, that's where you got to go back to His feet, and you got to sit there and wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What do we do to do that in our situations? What do you do when you don't know what to do? Go back to His feet. Sit at His feet. God told Abraham, take Isaac, thine only son. God said, you put him in the story. I didn't. And because of that, the two sons fought. And do you know in the Middle East, the two sons are still fighting? The two nations in the Middle East that are fighting against themselves are from the very heritage of Abraham and Sarah and Hagar that are fighting because God said, I didn't put that in your story. You did. And now the rest of the world is going to deal with the situation that you wrote in your story. Can I tell you, sometimes we must be aware that the things that we write into our own story when God is trying to do it, sometimes they're going to last for generations, and we may have to deal with those particular issues. So before we get impatient and before we start writing our own story, make sure that we say, God, not my will, but thine will. You do what you want to do, God. I totally submit to you. Friend, we cannot become impatient and take the pen into our own hands. For God knows what's best. God said, I'm writing your story and I have already had the end in mind. I'm already got the ending planned. And nothing can stop your story from happening. Get this, friend. If God said it's going to happen, nothing can stop it. Do we get that concept? If God said it's going to happen, nothing can stop it. So if God said he's going to do it and he's promised it to you, nothing can stop it, no matter what comes against you. The story will go on and God will get the glory from your story. It doesn't matter what comes against you. Isaiah 54, 17 says, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. I'm here to tell you, no weapon. No, 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 no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Nothing that the devil tries to do to stop you will work, because God is getting the glory from your story. God is in control of your ending. God has it planned for you. God is working things out for your good. And as long as we let God lead us and guide us, nothing can stop us. Look at your neighbor and say, nothing. Nothing can stop it from happening as long as we follow God and follow. Well, what if? What if? What if? I'm here to tell you, there's nothing that can stop God from doing his will in your life. There is nothing that can stop God from doing his will in your family. There is nothing that can stop God from doing his will in your church, because God can do anything and nothing can stop him. And when I got the concept of that, I stopped worrying about so much, because I realized that if something comes into my life, it doesn't surprise God. You know that? God is never surprised. He never goes, oh, that trial just came in your life. Oh my goodness, it surprised me. His brow never wrinkles, his palms never get sweaty, and his heart never palpitates. He never gets nervous or worried. He already knows what's going to happen. He already knows. He knows the beginning from the end. We look at time as a book and we have to turn the pages. He looks at it like a panoramic view. He sees the beginning to the end. He already sees where your life is supposed to be and where you're going. He's already penned that story. He's already talked about your next revival. He's already talked about your next breakthrough, your next miracle, your next calling. He's already wrote about it. He's just waiting on you to get there. He's just waiting on you to get there. But nothing ever surprises God. God never has a shocked look on his face. Oh. So why do we worry when we know God's already got this? God's already got this. He already said in his word, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. It doesn't matter what comes against you. Nothing shall stop the plan of God. Whatever God has planned for your life, as long as we let God lead us and guide us, nothing can stop it. Paul said, nothing can separate us from the love of God. If you want to live for God, nothing can stop you. You know that? I know people that have had horrible situations in their life. Horrible situations. Mom and dad don't live for God. People don't live for God. Fight just to come to church. All kinds of horrible situations. And they come to church, lift their hands, and God blesses them every service, and they're overcomers. They're overcomers, and everything in their life is going wrong. But they're still overcomers through God, because nothing can stop you if you have the want to. If you want to do it, if you want to make it, you understand that God's got my back, and God's got this, and he's going to get the glory out of my story. No matter what comes my way, I can do all things through Christ. Nothing can separate us. Nothing can stop us. If you want to be victorious and grow and develop in God, nothing can deter you. Nothing can stop you. Nothing can keep you from being what you want to be in God. Nothing. Job realized this when everything he had, he lost. Job went through sickness. He went through loss. He went through times of depression. But he stayed faithful to God. And even through everything that he went through, he said, I know my Redeemer lives. I know with everything I'm facing and everything, we lose something and we fall apart. We don't get that next promotion and we fall apart. Something in our life don't happen. Job lost everything. He lost everything and everybody. And his wife said, Job, just curse God and die. Job lost everything. We must understand. God has showed me this. Sometimes when you lose stuff, you actually gain. Amen. Sometimes when you lose some stuff, you actually gain. Because God's saying, you're losing that friend, but they're not part of your journey. You're losing that boyfriend or that girlfriend, or you're losing that job, or you're losing that thing in your life because it ain't part of your story. Ah, come on now. Some of you getting uncomfortable now. Oh, now he's talking about my life. Oh, I'm just following the Holy Ghost. If it ain't in your story, you need to get rid of it. Sometimes when you lose it, you actually gain. Sometimes you got to lose some stuff because we're running a race and we can't have all this stuff hanging on us, this extra baggage, this extra stuff. We got to lose some stuff so we can run this race. They're not part of our story. Now, I'm not talking about being mean to people. I'm not talking about being you know, disrespectful or anything like that. But God told me a long time ago, I'm going to give you the gift of go. And when some people aren't a part of your journey and some people just aren't going where you're going, you just got to give them the gift of go and tell them, all right, I'll see you later. You're not going where I'm going. You're not the part of where I'm going. God's got a plan for me. I'm turning over the new chapter in my life. And this says a new day. It says a new anointing. It says fresh promises in God. And this is just not part of your journey. And if they're not part of your journey, just let them go. Let them go. I've never let go of something that God didn't give me something better back in return. I've never let go of something and said, okay, God, if you want it, it's yours. I've never let go of something that God didn't give me something better and bigger and greater, and it took, and he said, that's not what you need. Let me get. Sometimes we think we know better than what God does what we need. Oh, God, I can't live without it. Really? Well, God, I can't live without her. Really? I can't live without him. Really? We're holding on to junk when God's got jewels. We're holding on to trash when God's got treasures. He's saying, if you'll just let go of what you think you need, I'll give you what you need. If you let go of what you got, I'll give you what you need. They're a part of your story. This is a part of your story. Won't you let God get the glory out of the story that he's writing for your life? When my wife and I were going through our disaster, we thought it was. We lost a good paying job. We lost insurance. We lost all kinds of stuff. I said, God, I can't live without my job. I was crying. You know, us guys, we're supposed to make a living, you know, and take care of our family. I had two kids, one on the way. You're worse than an infidel. I didn't know if you know what an infidel was. Oh, God, I'm a horrible man. I said, God, I can't live without this job. God said, you will. A year and a half, I didn't have a job. I went to job interview after job interview, and I'm a good teacher. I teach fifth grade right now. Taught high school then. I was a good teacher. I did everything I could to get a job. Couldn't find a job. For a year and a half, I didn't have a job. I said, God, I can't. He said, yeah, you will. I go to job interview. I thought I was qualified, never get a call back. A year and a half, I went without a job. We lived off our savings and what little bit we had. You know what? A year and a half, we never missed a payment. You know, a year and a half, we didn't lose anything that we had that we thought we were going to lose. A year and a half, I told my wife one day, I came to her and I said, babe, you know, we're going to pay our tithes and offerings, but we don't have enough money to pay offerings like we did anymore. Just go ahead. And God said, don't you do it. I said, what? God said, no. Pay the same amount of offerings you've been paying when you made the big money. Teachers don't make big money. When you made good money, You pay the same. I said, God, I can't do it. I can't pay the same amount of offering and tithes. I don't even make a third of that anymore. God said, do it. You know what we did? We wrote the check because God was getting the glory out of our story. He said, it's not about you. See, when we don't give, it's not about, it's about our faith in God. It's when we depend not on ourselves, but we depend on God. I said, write the check for the same amount. She looked at me like I was crazy. You know we don't have that money. I said, write the check. Write it every month. She wrote it every single month for a year and a half. We never changed our offerings that we were giving. And every single month we made it. There was a little extra left over. There was a little extra left over. And I just kept saying, okay, God, it's your glory. People would say, how are you making it? I say, it's God. We give God the glory. I understand God's getting the glory out of my story. I don't have nothing to do with it. God said, I'm going to get the glory out of your story. I said, okay, God, whatever you want. When I went back and applied for a job 3 years ago, I went to a little country school, went and applied for a job. I went to the job interview. The superintendent called me back immediately. He said, we want you. I said, oh, okay. He said, will you come work for us? I said, well, what, you know, we talked a little bit, how many years of service and this and that. Whenever we got through negotiating, I'm a good negotiator. Whenever we got done negotiating, my salary was higher than I'd ever got at my old job. It was more than we had at our old job. Went to the school. We were in the process of remodeling our church. We got a new church building. It was an old building. 20-foot ceilings, cement floors, just metal building. Brother Miguel's come over and helped us hang our ceiling fans. We got this. Am I taking too much time? We got this building. I'm working at the school. God just, it's amazing how when you let God write your story, he puts you in the right spot. The reason why we're so uncomfortable sometimes is we put our own selves in our own spots. And we write in our own stories and we put ourselves here and say, oh man, that's uncomfortable. That doesn't fit. We go over here. God's saying, oh, I moved over here, and then all of a sudden, God's saying, I got a spot that fits perfectly for you right here. So, I'm working at this new job, loving it. My wife is, we got our son in the preschool, and the kids are going to school and everything. I love the job. It's great to have an income, and then we're going, and all of a sudden, we start this remodel project. We're starting this remodeling project, and I call the contractor in, and he says, it's going to be $10,000 to remodel this metal building to get you in the church. And I'm like, okay, we could do this. Oh, God, help us. So in 1 week, we raised $10,000. 1 week, God provides $10,000 so that we can remodel this church. I was walking up to baby showers in the church, and people would come up and put a $500 check inside my pocket and said, I heard you were building, you know, working. I said, yeah. Whoa. I go different places. One guy said, I want to give $3,000 to your church. What different things were happening. My vice principal of the school, you see, I was at this other job. I was real comfortable, remember? Then a year and a half, we go through the dry spell. We go through the valley. Then all of a sudden, God puts us in this place. He's writing the story. So we get to this place, and now God's, it's a comfortable place. The vice principal calls my wife and says, I want you to come to my office. Xander, my middle kid, he's actually going to the school, the preschool. And so she's thinking, oh, no, what does Xander do? He's acting like his dad. And so she goes to the preschool, and my vice principal gives her an envelope and says, God told me to give you this money for your new church. Gives her an envelope with $400 in it that she had taken and said, God told me. Don't tell me that God's not writing your story. And don't tell me that God's not going to get the glory out of your story. If you'll just say, okay, God, whatever it is I have to give up or whatever it is I have to do, God, I want you to get the glory out of my story. Here's the glory. So she took the money, and I was overwhelmed, and I was like, oh, my goodness, and all this stuff was happening. Can I tell you that the job that God took me to, from that particular job, we have had two young people, two students come to our church from that school. from that particular school. Three teachers connected there have been to our school. Can I tell you that another family has come? Can I tell you just a few weeks ago, a student's grandmother came to me and she said, you know, I've really been looking for a church and my family said that you pastor somewhere. I said, yeah, I pastor the Harvest Center. She said, I'm looking for a Sunday school that I could bring my kids to. And they said they knew all about you and that you had a church. Could I bring them to your Sunday school? I'm here to tell you, God will get the glory out of your story if you will stick in the story and you will let him be the author and the finisher of your story. God's not done with you yet. Maybe the enemy's wrote you off. Maybe the world has wrote you off. Maybe they've told you that they're finished with you and it's over. But I'm here to tell you, God is not done with you yet. It is not over. God is the author and the finisher of your life. I'm here to tell somebody that this setback is just a setup for a mighty comeback. I want to tell somebody, you may be in a setback right now and you may be saying, I don't understand. What am I going to do, preacher? I'm here to tell you, God's just setting you up. He's just got this setback and he's setting you up for a mighty comeback, and God is going to get the glory. The next chapter of your life is just the next page. It's not over. It's just beginning. It may look dark right now, but you're getting ready for a comeback. It may look bad, but just stick around until the ending. God's got the pen in his hand and he's beginning to move and he's beginning to write. The page is just about to turn and the chapter is coming to a close, and you don't want to miss what's coming next. Look at your neighbor and say, don't leave now. You don't want to miss what's coming next. It's a new chapter. It's a new day. It's a new season. It's a new revival. There's something coming along, and it's going to happen, and you don't want to miss what's happening next. One of my pet peeves is getting into a story and then never being able to finish it. You're like, get to that part you really like, and then all of a sudden, it's like you can't get it, or you don't read it, or you don't finish it, and it's something that's like a pet peeve. Friend, don't miss the ending of your story. It's just getting good. You know what the problem is? So many times we bail out right before it gets good. We bail out and we say, I can't take this anymore. Oh, my Lord God, I can't take this anymore. I'm losing this, I'm losing that, and things are going haywire, and things are going crazy. I don't think I could take it anymore. That's exactly the time it's fixing to turn. If you'll just hold on, one man said, when you think about letting go, think about why you held on for so long. Right? When you think about letting go, remember why you held. Remember what kept you holding on. God said, I'm going to do it. He said, I'm going to write this in your story. God promised it to you. When you think about letting go and you think your family's never going to be saved, remember why you held on so long. Remember the vision that God gave you. When you think about it's not going to happen and the promise is not going to come to pass. Some years later, Sarah had a child. God said, I told you so. I wrote it in your story. Somebody's here today and you forgot about some of the promises God's gave you. You forgot about some of the things that God's told you that are going to come to pass. And the enemy's kind of helped you kick them under the rug. He's kind of helped you forget them because he's good at that. And every promise that God has given you, when you were at his feet and he was pouring into you and he was showing you the glory, he was telling you about the story that you were going to get, that God was going to get the glory. The enemy from then until now, it's been silent, and so the pen has stopped, so we begin to lose our faith. But God told Abraham, I told you you were going to have a son. I told you it was going to happen. I'm here to tell somebody, I feel the Holy Ghost, it's going to happen. I'm here to tell you, it's going to happen. Look at your neighbor and by faith say, it's going to happen. What God has told you, the promises God has told you, it's going to happen. And the enemy's trying to tell you to let go. The enemy's trying to tell you that chapter of your life has been ripped out. That chapter of your life has been removed. I've come to tell the enemy, if God put it in my story, God's going to get the glory. And it's going to happen because God is going to be God. And no weapon that is formed against me, nothing can stop it from happening. There's going to be revival in Lindsay. There's going to be a church in Lindsay. Because God told me it's going to happen. And I don't care what happens. And I don't care what the devil does. I don't care how many people leave. God said there's going to be a church there. If God said you're going to have a ministry, it doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what anyone else does. If God said it, you can bank on it. And you can put your promises on it. You can stand up on the word of God and know that it's true. Because God is going to get the glory out of the story. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the one that says when it's over. It's a new season. It's a new day. Something extraordinary is coming your way. My test, get this, and I'm closing. Musicians, will you come? My test are fixing to turn into my greatest testimony. You see, everybody wants a testimony. Woo, I want a testimony. God, give me a testimony. You know how you get a testimony? You got to go through the test. Everybody wants a testimony, but they don't want to go through the test. If you don't go through the test, all you got is a bunch of moaning. I'm tired of a bunch of moaning. Oh, blah, blah. Go through the test and let God get the glory out of it. Go through your trial and let God give you triumph. Go through your mess and let it become your greatest message. Go through what God has for you and come through triumphantly and let God get the glory from your story. Your battle is fixing to be your greatest blessing. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody's catching on here. Somebody's seeing the pages begin to ripple. Somebody's beginning to feel God writing. You thought it was over, but God's picking up the pen. God's sitting on his throne, and he's looking down here at that experience conference, and he said, Brother Miguel Rincon, bring me his book. Bring me Brother Miguel Rincon's book, and the angels bring it. I'm just going to write in a brand new blessing. You know that prayer he's been praying for? Remember in chapter whatever? It's a new season. It's a new day. Anybody want to take the book of your life and open it over? You thought it was over, but it's just about to get good. Your pain is fixing to be your greatest power. Come on, somebody. Don't quit now. Don't give up now. Your story is just about to get good. You got three choices in life. You can give in. You can give up. Or you can give it all you've got. And the choice is not mine. The choice is not your youth pastor. And the choice is not your parents. But the choice is yours. You can give in. You can give up. Or you can say, God, I'm going to give it all I've got. And I'm going to let you get the glory. Will you stand with me tonight? Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their complaining and their moaning and their groaning. No. That's how we expect to overcome sometimes. We go, oh, if you only knew what was going on in my life. And I'm not knocking that. We've all got problems. We all got issues. I'm not knocking that. But if you only knew, the Bible says, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Your testimony means that you went through the test and you overcame it. And when you testify about it, God gets the glory. When you say, oh, what the Lord's done for me, then God gets the glory out of your story. Somebody's going to have a testimony by the time this service is over. Somebody's going to have a testimony and say, look what the Lord has done. Oh, look what God has done. Praise singers, will you come? It's a new season. It's a new day. But you can't have a testimony unless you go through the test and you let God get the glory. Some of you feel like your life is like this book right here. It's been closed. It's done. The ministry, the anointing, the promises of God are over. The pages of what could have been, the hopes, the dreams, are closed. And the enemy looks at our life and he says, yep, there's another one. There's another mistake. There's another case of giving up early, throwing in the towel. But I believe somebody here in this place today is feeling God's hands go over your book of your life, and pages are beginning to open. And what you thought was over, and the enemy sees the book open, he'll... It was over. What are they doing? That experience 2016, something's happening. Those promises are dead. But the book is opening. And God says, it's a new season. You guys know that song, It's a New Season? It's a new day. Fresh anointing is coming my way. Come on, somebody's opening the book.
It's a season of power
and prosperity.
And prosperity.
It's a new season.
It's a new season.
God's going to get the glory out of your story. Come on, this front is open today. God's not done with your life yet. God's not done. Let him write the chapter.
It's a new season.
It's a new day.
It's a new day.
It's a fresh anointing.
A fresh anointing.
Coming my way.
It's coming my way.
Season.
It's a season of power
and prosperity.
And prosperity.
Come on, somebody, lift your hands. God's gonna get the glory.
It's a new season.
God's gonna get the glory. God's gonna get the glory. God's gonna get the glory out of your story. Yeah.
It's a new season.
Yeah, it's a
it's
new day.
A new
fresh anointing.
A fresh anointing.
It's coming my way.
It's coming my way.
Oh,
it's a season of power
and prosperity.
And prosperity.
It's a new season.
It's a new season. It's coming to me.
No weapon formed against me shall prosper.
It's a new season.
This is a new seat.
It's a new chapter. Day.
Let God reign.
A fresh anointing.
A fresh anointing.
It's coming my way.
Oh,
a season of power and prosperity.